What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, Footy Prime is lewd, lascivious, salacious, and outrageous. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your drinkers, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Did I?
Yeah. We're all, you've all booked, right?
Dubs. Yes, we're booked. We're booked.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're starting
Everyone's
off.
Everyone's booked. We'll be in Calgary.
We are booked.
For Thursday, ahead of the CPL final. Exciting. Footy Prime on the road, finally. Going to be a
pretty
good trip,
exciting.
Yeah.
Footy Prime's excellent Alberta adventure.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll workshop the name.
We'll work on that a little bit, but it's not bad.
Happy Monday, Doug.
Like that, actually.
She's
Bill
so
and Ted's Excellent Adventure,
right?
Was one of the great movies of the 1990s. Yeah, I like
right.
All three of them. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, San Dimas football rules.
That's right.
That? San Dimas High School football rules.
Oh, yeah.
When they're playing chess with death.
Oh, that's
it's amazing.
Yeah. Damn. Was that in the second one, death? Death was the second one, right?
I need to rewatch.
So. Yeah, death was perfect. He was really well cast.
Let's download it for the plane.
Oh.
And then we can do a movie review from Calgary. We should get back to that. Yeah, so we're going to be in Calgary this week for the CPL final. Mm-hmm. As of Thursday. So any supporters, club members out in Calgary, please come out, say hi. We'll be everywhere. We're going to make a right nuisance of ourselves.
Of course. And our friends
really
from Forge, who are making the trip out there, throw us some DMs, let us know, and we'll make a plan to meet up with you out there, so, some pub or some bar or some establishment.
Yeah, we'll be chatting with all sorts of people. We'll be doing podcasts and tons of social hits and all sorts of stuff, from the awards ceremony to the fan fest to the supporters' night to maybe the match too. Fan fest.
Maybe a Bontis will show. Who knows? You throw a fan fest, he might just show up.
You never know.
He's excited about them.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be, listen, I think there'll be the who's who of Canadian soccer in all circles there this weekend. So it should be a lot of fun. Jimmy, you look very Liam Gallagher right now.
Thank you very much. Supporting the team
like
that's third place in the Premier League, that's all.
Ooh, what a weekend for Forest, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But Jimmy, are you excited? I mean, you'll be there anyway because you're not an official duty, you know, one soccer. But are you happy that we're going to be tagging along with you?
The truth, or do you just want me to go with it?
Always the truth, Jimmy. Always the truth.
No, I'm delighted you guys are going to be there. It's exciting. Really
can
is.
Tell by your voice.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's important. I mean, being the number one soccer podcast in the country, it only seems right that the whole crew is there.
Go on, Charms.
And it's great that the league appreciates that, too.
Not just the number one soccer podcast in the country.
Footy Prime is the most important podcast in the world.
Right? That's quite damn good.
Yeah, I think so as well.
You know we're going to have to turn that, JC's going to have to turn that into a remix, eh? A little music, get it just like...
Not going to like
Footy Prime is the most important.
In there,
most important.
But speaking of our friend Kevin Blue, did you see that he was in Portland for Sinky's last regular season club game?
I did.
That's important. It's really, like, that's massive. That
optics,
he
right?
is showing. Yes, it's optics, but it's what's behind it as well. That he's walking the walk. He absolutely
he's making
is.
An effort. That's for sure. It's good to see.
I assume he'll be there this weekend.
Yeah, he hasn't called it yet, has he? He hasn't texted us.
No.
Kev. I'm sure he will.
He's probably like, oh, fuck, those guys are going to be there. Jesus, I'm going to hold up my hotel room and just make an appearance here and there because they're a right pain in my ass.
Stay clear.
But yeah, so let us know if you're going to be there and seek us out. We're looking forward to that. Hey, Vancouver, still in the hunt, Craig. Your Whitecaps bossed it last night against LAFC, courtesy two own goals and another Ryan Gold maestro performance.
Top goal scorer, OG.
That's what you get.
Yeah, that's what you get. Yeah, great. Great for Vancouver. Good opportunity now on the road. And sometimes I think they play better on the road. So this is going to be a tough task next Friday. I believe it's Friday, the return match.
Yep.
The decider.
Well, I mean, last time out when in LAFC, right, they lost a close one, ran out of gas, right? But they played so much football prior to that on the road that they were travel weary, I think it's fair to say. And they still hung in there for much of that game. But, Jimmy, they're not favorites, and nor should they be favorites. But if you're a Whitecaps fan, you've got to be pretty optimistic still, no?
I think you do. And you're right. I think, you know, the first match that they played, they really started pushing forward towards the end. They got their goal, brought it close anyway. So what was it, 2-1? They had a couple of chances, but just couldn't get the result. And then at home, you could see the difference. I thought they dominated the game. They played great, really good football. They had some good spells. Again, Gold, White, and Armstrong were terrific. Pico's been playing great. And they just got to take that momentum and what they did last night into the match now down in LA. And I think they'll be okay. And sometimes it's better when you are that underdog and you're playing against LAFC and everybody's thinking, oh, they're the favorites to win the league. It takes a little bit of pressure off you. And all the pressure's on them. Just go out and play your football. And I thought they did that last night.
Yeah, I think people are surprised almost that they were able to extend the series. I mean, I was thinking that they had a chance, get a little bit of rest in those legs and that 11 and the players that they really rely on. Yeah. But that was Sartini's first playoff win at BC Place, right? And then in true Sartini style, he had another great quote. Did you guys see this one? He said, after last time, did I say I don't think God exists? I don't know if he wants to join the Whitecaps or she, because maybe God is a she. If she or he wants to become a Whitecaps fan, we're going to give him an honorary card of any group that he or she will enjoy. So whether he's like down in LAFC and they end up losing that match and they had LAFC fans offering him a red card to sign, like any other coach, I think, or there are very few. Like, I think they'd get upset about that, but he embraces it like for good and bad. And then he gets to be in front of that celebratory, the fans at home and get to kind of revel in it a little bit. And then, you know, turn the page and get back to business and then head back down to LA. So I like the Whitecaps' chances here to kind of, like, as Jimmy is saying, to play underdog, to kind of wreck shit, right? To like you're Don Garber and you're MLS. The Crew already went down. We haven't talked about that, but they lost the Red Bulls. So the defending MLS Cup champs are out. Like, LAFC is your top seed in the West. Like, if this small Canadian franchise from Vancouver takes or knocks off these giants, it's kind of anybody's game.
Well, Miami lost to Atlanta, obviously still in the hunt in this weird playoff format, right? But they lost. So, like, it really 80, is
80,000 people. Just Atlanta's reminder incredible. About MLS and growth. Emma, 80,000 people in Atlanta.
But that's like, they're like, they celebrate their team. They show up for their team. And they have done when they were MLS Cup champs. But like, they also don't show up like when their team's shit. Mm. And like, that was, I think, CF Montreal's regular season match that they beat Atlanta away, like one of their lone results on the road for CF Montreal. And like the place was like a ghost town. There was hardly anybody there. But when this team is on a run, when they're playing well, then that's how they show up for them. So, I mean, you got to look out for Atlanta for sure.
Sounds like Habs fans.
No, we're not bandwagon jumpers.
Atlanta were favored as well, unlike Habs most games. Sorry, Dubs.
Well, yeah. Leafs are doing great.
Come on. Yeah. Don't get me started. They just kind of figure out a new system under Craig Berube, okay?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. Back to soccer. So let's for a second here just This is just getting in my head. Let's say that God exists, right? Let's not debate that, whether you like it or not. You know, I don't care. We know he doesn't. But anyway, if he did play football, what position would he play? I'm thinking a scheming number 10. A striker?
Yeah. From the pictures and that, I think he's quite tall. he looks pretty agile.
He's a big man with a good touch.
Yeah, he's got a bit about him, doesn't he?
Are we talking God or are we talking Jesus, the Son of God? He's actually, if we're Catholic, like I was brought up Catholic, so it's the Trinity, right? So they're the same. And on earth, I look at Jesus and I say he's a fullback. He's playing wing. No, he's a back wing, running up and down the side. He's a thin.
Wing back.
No,
he smokes a lot of weed.
Carpenter, worked with his hands. If God is a he or she, yeah, goalkeeper, 100%.
He's got the Allison going for him, hasn't he, a little bit?
Yes.
Allison could pull off a pretty good Jesus at Halloween if he wanted to. Right?
I think he's on the bench.
He's on the bench. JC? In his father's shadow, right? Because you're always trying to, you know, meet your father's unrealistic expectations.
Maybe he gets traded like you did.
Maybe. Hey, JC, you're on the... other team today.
Daddy, is that you?
I'd love to see his boots. I wonder what kind of boots he'd wear.
Is he like a flourish?
Studs in those sandals?
Grew up playing barefoot for sure.
Mm-hmm. Top feet.
I think he's a nailed on starter, personally.
Yeah. I think he's too lazy for that.
Really? Lazy?
Yeah.
Is Jesus lazy?
I don't think so. I never thought of Jesus Christ as lazy.
No, I never thought of that either.
Why was he lazy, Craig?
Bad work ethic. That's why the religion didn't grow.
It'd be a good time for him to show up again, and I think he's lazy. He doesn't want to have any part of it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Now would be a good time.
Years, for fuck's sakes. Yeah. He's like, it's as inconsistent as James Madison.
Right. Picks and chooses his moments.
I don't know. I mean, let's find out from the listeners and viewers. You tell us where would Jesus Christ play? Would he even start? And as for God, where is he? Jimmy thinks, well, we're not sure what Jimmy thinks is Jesus or God as a striker, but he made good points. I think God's more of a scheming playmaker because he's always scheming that God, right?
It's creative, isn't
it? I'm guessing the religious types are going to disagree with you. I don't think scheming is really what they associate with God.
He's plotting.
Well, there's a big similarity between James Sharman and his father, because James Sharman's father sent him out and sacrificed him to the other team. Just like God sacrificed his only son for humanity. So for the good of his rugby team or your rugby team, he would sacrifice you to the other team, James.
Yeah.
Jesus?
Jesus Charmin.
He'd grab Jesus's water bottle and be like, fuck, not again. Stop putting wine in this shit. Come on. I'm thirsty. I just want some water.
Come on.
Sick of playing hammer. Instead of orange slices, it's fish again. It's like fish after a match again.
God, well, you're stop
changing that Gatorade into wine. Fuck.
Yeah. Sharp, do we all have to sit at the same side of the table every time we have dinner?
Yeah.
These dinner reservations are getting out of hand.
The photographer put them there. Okay.
Yeah. You know, Charms is also upset because no one's buying pies. They're just eating loaves of bread, right? Like they're like, I'm full already, Charms.
I'm going to text our friend of the show, the Reverend Michael Corrin, right now. Hilarious. And I'm going to ask him his thoughts. Okay.
Yeah.
So keep talking about it while I just send him a note here.
I think we nailed that one.
Yeah. Reservation under son of for 26. So there's only 13 of you. It's like, yeah, we're all going to sit on the same side of the table. It's like a sitcom.
I'm actually texting him, so keep talking.
Oh, all right. Well, what do we want to talk about? Were we done with MLS?
We're in MLS still. Are we still excited? MLS, yeah.
I was also going to say, Charms, maybe we ask Asa to come on Wednesday. Just so there's a day, because we'll be traveling on Thursday, just so everyone knows our schedule. We'll be out in Calgary, the whole crew, by Thursday. I think Craig is heading out there on Wednesday. So if you see a tall, lean man who is looking for a vape shop, then that will be Craig Forrest.
Oh, just Jesus.
So you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be chilly.
Are mushrooms legal in Alberta?
Yes.
Are they legal anywhere?
They're not legal anywhere.
Sponsorship?
Well, Sharms, what are we talking? Go, Amy. Bring us up to speed on our next. What are we talking about?
No, let's talk about the first Miami goal.
Oh, Atlanta. Yeah,
the Brad Guzan conniption fit.
Oh yeah, I see. I prefer to say Guzan.
Is it French
instead of Guzan?
Very strange.
What did you think, Craig?
I don't know. I watching it, I put some blame on Guzan as for starters, but there's also a move toward him. He's going to kick the ball. He releases it, and the player makes a move into him. The attacking player just put him off or whatever he's trying to do, but he certainly made a move. So you could argue that they're, within the spirit of the game, there was no contact, but Guzan didn't want to swing through it and potentially injure himself or the opposition player too. So because there's no contact, does that mean that there's no foul? Well, I guess technically speaking, yes, but in the spirit of the game, I'm not sure that goal should have counted.
I disagree with you.
If you're Guzan Forrest, he comes off his line and moves out of the six towards the edge of the 18 to start the build up to throw it out to his player. He goes into four Miami players. So as a goalkeeper, it's your responsibility to have the awareness about where you're moving into, right? Yes. So if you're Craig Forrest, I don't think you're going that way. Or you're being a little bit more patient. You're waiting for them to clear the box. Yeah, and then you're going that way.
For starters, I'm right-footed, so I wouldn't have run. He's left footed.
Right. You're going the other way.
You're going the other way. But you're right. I mean, he should have some awareness about what's around him, and he wasn't. So there is some criticism there. But
well, he's in full control of the ball, though. This is where I'm like, he's holding the ball. He can kick it at any time he wants. He can move it any direction he wants. He could run all the way across to what Amy was saying, to the other side of the box to get himself some space. And he chooses to do that. So I don't know, man.
But the thing is, Wonger, the reason why he does do that is because he sees something that's on in front of him.
Oh, exactly. He wants to take advantage.
That's why he's rushing the play quick and get it out. Now, Forrest and I had this chat about Guzan, and
Shazam.
Did you get something stuck in your throat there, Jimmy?
No.
You're right.
Yeah, everybody's making up names for him, so I'm going to go with Guzan. And I didn't really think about it until Forrest said it, where just the player just making that movement, like that he's going to come into his space, even though he doesn't come into it, it's kind of like a little dummy fake that throws the keeper off. And Guzan kind of looks at it and he's thinking, right, if I do throw this out, I'm going to either smash him, or if he comes into place, we're going to collide here and we're going to connect. So he's hesitant with his movement now just because of that striker dropping the shoulder a little bit, faking that he's going to come into his space. And that throws the keeper off. So, I mean, Forrest drew light to that to me. So that's where it kind of made me think. And I was like, yeah, you're right. If the player doesn't do that, then Guzan's just going to kick it up the pitch. But because of that movement, that halters everything and stops it.
But is that enough for the referee to blow their whistle? Like, is the feign enough, right?
Yeah, but that's the big question now, because if he continues that movement and he collides with the goalkeeper, he's getting a yellow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So the intent is there, but then he stops, which throws that whole play off just because of that movement. Now, because there's no contact, that's where the ref's like, oh, play on. Right? So it's a tough
one. Yeah, but it's the contact that causes a yellow, the violation. It's not the feint. Everyone faints. Everybody fakes. So if you fake well and it forces someone to go a different direction, that's kudos to you and your talent. This guy's still in complete control of the ball, and he could stop at any time. That's, I guess. So the spirit of the game, I don't know the spirit of the game.
No, but I think with the keeper as well, I mean, it's not like he's holding that ball and he's kicking it straight out of his hands. That keeper's got to drop the ball to kick it. So it's got to come out.
Someone standing in front of him, he goes around him. Right?
Well, he couldn't because the player's coming from the side.
Which he started to move forward into.
Yeah. Now you see it often, and the referee sometimes does blow the whistle when a player's coming into that space and not allowing the goalkeeper to continue his momentum going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of the reason where that player's coming into that space now. And mm-hmm. Brad's kind of just looked and went, he's coming into my area. I've got to release this ball so I can kick it.
I love how he's Brad now.
I know. First name basis.
But usually right. In that situation, the goalkeepers get the benefit of the doubt, right? So in that mm-hmm. case, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You just suck it up, right?
Well, if he swung through it and he kicked the guy up the ass, it would have been a yellow card to the opposition player.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
It's right.
It is an interesting one. I've never seen
it something
quite like that.
It would be good to have a referee on there and explain it because it's – At first, I was like, whatever, nothing. And then after, when I was talking with Forrest, I was like, yeah, it makes sense.
But like that snapshot where he looks to throw it and then doesn't and then kind of catches his toe in the turf and then it kind of just spills on the ground is like a Ralph Wiggum when his heart's breaking and it's like a slight convulsion. Like it's a spasm of epic proportions, isn't it? Like that snapshot of Brad Guzan, like – He's also in full control there. So he has to be aware of what he's running into. Yes, he wants to play it quick, to your point, Jimmy. But he's also, at that point, he can halt his movement, right? And he chooses not to.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a good debate.
Are you guys buying into this? I know this happened last year, right? This best of three. I find it very confusing still. Kind of hard to get into it all. These are great moments, which would work just as well in a one-off.
Yeah. No, you got to win two charms. That's it. That's what it means.
I know. Thanks, Jimmy.
Okay.
I didn't understand it. Best of three? What?
I think they just wanted MLS pundits to say rubber match.
Yes. Yeah. Better than dead rubber.
Sponsored by Durex.
Yeah.
That'd be dead rubber.
Like that.
We said before, We are just sitting here waiting for a condom sponsorship. Be perfect, I think. Or not perfect, I don't know. Anyway, so that was, MLS delivered this weekend for sure. Minnesota won on penalties against Real Salt Lake. Dane St. Clair, Craig, the hero. Not just the saves, but I love his swagger, right? It's not the first time we've seen him from him, right? We've seen it before. But he's got so much confidence. He's a really colorful goalkeeper, right? He's great, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he does well, and he really gets in their heads. And I thought he did a really good job doing that, but his saves were really spectacular, too. A couple of them were excellent.
Sack, see, in a situation like that, right, when you're in playoffs, match has gone into penalties, do you feel the pressure's on you a little bit or no pressure whatsoever? When those players are walking up, are you just staring them down coming from that center circle, trying to get in their head?
Yeah, because I think the difference, Jimmy, when you're in training, you're taking penalties. That goal looks an awful lot bigger for the players taking it. They can pick the corner because there's no consequences of missing. But you put them under that sort of pressure. The goalkeeper, Dane, he knows as well as anybody that the pressure is on the kicker, and they're under a lot of pressure. And you can apply a little bit more and make it as difficult as you possibly can because that goal in the competition point of view is a lot smaller he's a big man too. So yeah, it's I don't feel there's any pressure on goalkeepers. They're just sort of excited about the whole thing. It's one of those situations where you're not going to get blamed if you lose a penalty shootout, but you can be a hero when you save a couple and win one.
It's a horrible walk up for a player too, from halfway doing that walk, just thinking so much is going through your mind. And for me, I used to hate it. I wouldn't even look at the keeper. Wouldn't even look at it. And then when I put the ball down, the goal actually looked like a hockey net to me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I missed.
I think that's where you see now players and teams manage it, right? Where you have either the goalkeeper grab the ball and then meet the player so that walk doesn't seem quite as daunting, quite as long. And it's also a way to kind of control or kind of stifle a little bit of that shithousery. So like for Dane St. Clair to me to control that narrative, like to make the goal seem so small, he's a big human. But I think like his aura, his confidence, like just seemed to, he took up more of the net. But it's reserved, I think, for that penalty box. Whereas now, because I think teams are more protective of their own players and of the ball, I think following like the Emi Martinez shithousery masterclass at the World Cup, like I think that teams are kind of controlling that a little bit more. But I mean, when you have a goalkeeper who's so confident, the goal absolutely seems smaller.
Yeah, and that shithousery has been cut back on, obviously. He was even talked to, Dane, by the referee. Just be careful. You're pushing the limits here a little bit.
But you can tell. I mean, how hard is it as an outfield player walking to that spot, though? I mean, to have the positive thoughts as opposed to let the negative thoughts overwhelm you, right? I've never done it, but I can imagine I'm just thinking the entire walk up there, I'm going to miss this fucking thing. If I miss this thing, I'm in so much trouble. Oh my God, my team's going to hate me. That's what I'm thinking. I haven't got that mindset, right? You guys
are not in the five, Sharms.
That's why I'm hiding. Head down. I'm tying my shoelace. Don't pick me, Gaff.
Well, and that experience of doing it, there's a lot of players that ended up in a penalty shootout that haven't done that walk all that often. So because
well, who was the first guy that skied over the bar? Because I watched that and thought he's missing. Mm. There's no doubt he's missing. He looks so nervous. His breathing was irregular. He was, you know, his pupils are dilated, eyes bugging everywhere. Like, oh, this guy's gonna miss. He was totally freaking out of it. I knew it from the second I saw him walking up there. So, but I mean,
Craig, have you ever taken one?
No. No competition, no.
Wow, that's a story that you just don't have in your arsenal. What's going on?
No.
I'd have a feeling you'd just smash it down the middle.
Yeah. Totally. If I was going to put my money on anybody scoring a penalty when you needed to, outside of the talk about these, you know, geniuses in football that do it, was Paul Dolan, the goalkeeper for Canada's national team. He could strike a ball so well. And with pace and knuckle and movement, that he just hits the target, and with so much pace that it's very, very difficult unless it hits you to save it. So, I don't think Paul Dolan ever took one in competition either. But I tell you what, I would put him up there.
You saw Alyssa Nair do it with the U.S. Women's National Team, like come up big against Canada with saves, but then also score the winner. And then when Canada got eliminated from the Olympics by Germany, and Katrin Berger was huge, right? Like she came up with some timely saves and then also scored the winner herself.
Yeah.
So you're right though, Forrest, like sometimes goalkeepers, they already have that kind of steely eyed mentality where they have the composure in those moments. But on the other side of the ball is to strike it purely with power and precision because they know where not to put it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people put too much emphasis or when they're approaching the ball to try to disguise it. Goalkeepers aren't going to – they've already made up their decision. I mean, unless you're really telegraphing where you're taking it, it's difficult to tell as a run-up where the player's going to take it in the first place. So I think that they should think less of that, trying to disguise where you're going, and just make sure that you put the ball in a position the goalkeeper can get it, regardless of if he goes the right way or not.
Put it where Forrest's water bottle is.
Yeah,
that's right.
But in most cases, Craig, you knew like beforehand, you determined where you were going.
Yeah. Yeah. You always have something in your head. And then sometimes you would change that. But yeah, for every one you get right, as many that you get wrong.
Remember Chile's Jose Luis Chilavert? He took penalties for Chile and was it Chile or Paraguay? Yeah, Chile, I think it was. And free kicks too. He was incredible.
Was it Paraguay?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. He was incredible. Like he'd score like 10 goals a year from the spot and from free kicks.
And from free kicks.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a dangerous one though. If you hit the wall and you got yourself 80, 90 yards.
Yeah. No kidding. I sprint back.
Sharms, just to wrap up their talk, you were asking about that walk. Right. To go take the penalty. Like I've told this story before, like I ended my college career. My penalty got saved by the Notre Dame keeper. And then I think it was a few short months later, we were in Australia. We were playing China as part of a tournament. And it was one of these games where like the floodlights went out. We had like an hour delay inside and we were up in the game and we'd never beaten China. and they tied it, and we went to extra time, and we went to penalties because it was part of this tournament. And I was maybe the fourth penalty shot taker, and Evan clearly knew, I think, my history with it, but I was a player that was going to be relied upon, and like we'd practice it. So this is the thing, like these best of three series where there's no extra time, it's straight to penalties. These teams are going through the reps, right? So you not only know who's confident, but you've been doing it in practice. It's well rehearsed. And so we had done it a little bit, but not a ton. So in that long walk up to that penalty spot, I was well aware that the last penalty I'd struck got saved, and I never put it in that same corner again. I pushed it, the one that got saved, with my right foot to the lower right-hand corner. And this time I kind of curled it, the inside of my boot, to the top left corner and scored. And was yeah.
I was waiting for that.
And I remember another broken
Amy story.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. This is a good ending. And then back at the hotel, my colleague.
Happy ending.
John Walker,
you beat me to it.
Who's still there. Like that. He called me and was just so proud of me. You know, and I was proud of myself. Like that was a big deal and something that became kind of a touchstone for me that I was able to kind of do. And it's important that you kind of do it again, that you don't sit on those feelings, that you get rid of it, whether it's through reps and practice or those in-game moments when the pressure's on.
Did you at the find a moment to yourself after the match when you went and looked in the mirror and said, Amy, you did really good tonight?
No.
No, I just think.
I don't know why I seem like one of those people that like is devoted to self-talk in the mirror.
Yeah. You were great out there, kid.
Yeah,
you were great today.
See, you threw them all wrong. A little pop on the chin.
Threw them all wrong. Yeah,
and a girl, kid.
Slugger.
People like me.
We have a response from our good friend Michael Corrin, the Rev, to our question about God and Jesus and where they play. So his response was: well, first of all, they play for Spurs, of course. He says keeper, I suppose, preventing evil from occurring and being the heart and soul of the team. So there you have it, goalkeepers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, see,
tough to argue.
That's why I think he's lazy, because if he is a Spurs fan, he's not doing much for them, is he?
He isn't going to say. Yeah.
It's been decades.
It's time, hey.
Well, a big win.
G.O.D.
He just teases them, doesn't he?
You're, yeah.
You know, we're going to get you to the final, but you're not going to win.
I'm going to get you a world-class striker who's going to score more goals than anyone else in the league every single year. Yeah. He's still not going to win.
No trophy.
No trophy. Yeah. All right. Actually, before we get to the Prem, let's. I mean, we mentioned CPL, obviously. We'll be there. Forge, Cavalry. But Forge found a way over Ottawa this weekend. It wasn't a great game. It wasn't a great match, Jimmy. But they haven't been in form for some time, actually. But they're still Forge, right? And they still find a way to win these types of games. If you're Ottawa, are you gutted to see that opportunity, you know, miss once again? Or is it like, well, this is Forge. I mean, this is what they do, right? They're just the best team. They always have been the best team.
If you're Ottawa, yeah, you're disappointed, I think, because the squad that you put together at the beginning of the season, there was high expectations for them to get to the final. So going into that match, I think they had a sense of confidence and belief that they were going to win, knowing that Forge had a few games on the run that they lost. And I thought the second half, I thought they were a lot better. They created an awful lot of chances. They hit the post. They had Forge on the back foot, and it just looked like they were going to get something out of that match. So at least they were going to tie it up. But, you know, good teams always find a way to win. And I thought with Forge, I thought they bunkered in at times when they were under an awful lot of pressure, and they dealt with what was coming at them, because Ottawa's throwing absolutely everything the kitchen sink at them, especially in the last 20 minutes or so of that match. And they got the result, and they're back in the final. So it's a great result for Forge, but very disappointing for Ottawa. I'm sure they would have thought that they should have got something out of that match.
I know, Dubs, you were asking me about the goal as well and whether potentially Nate Ingham could have come for the cross on the corner. Yes and no. I mean, it's difficult. You try to get some positioning where you can get a line on the ball, but there's a lot of congestion, a lot of traffic in front of him. They did that on purpose. And the way the ball was put in, just the angle of it, he didn't have a direct line, and he decided in a split-second decision to stay on his line because he doesn't think he can get there. And on the back of that, I think it was a difficult one for him. Some people might think, yeah, it's 3 yards out. He should be coming for that. But under the circumstances, exactly where the ball was played, he didn't have a direct line to it. And if you don't, you don't want to be coming and missing it. So he stayed on his line. Unfortunately for him, found the back of the net.
I think on the other side, Kolela was brilliant for Forge. I thought he made some terrific saves. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable saves he was making. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially at one point when they were getting peppered.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a flurry of opportunities that Ottawa had, because for the most part, other than that, even though they were on the front foot in that second half, a lot of the shots were from the outside. They were kind of peripheral, but they did have like that 5 to 10 minute spell where they had a lot of opportunities on goal and the goalkeeper came up big. But for us, back to Nate there, because not to blame him at all, and I just feel gutted for him, but just like out of curiosity, like your perspective on it, and you answered it really well. But I think it's Becker who's on the service there on the corner, and it's an in-swinger. So is that a consideration? Is that like that it's coming in towards the net? Like, are you more inclined to stay it versus it being an out-swinger? You might go
in. Yeah, your starting position is generally going to be deeper or closer to your line on an in-swinger. Worried about something coming into that area. I always preferred outswingers more. I think attacking players like outswingers to better ball the head.
Yeah.
But inswingers I found difficult and I wasn't a big fan of them.
Yeah. It's difficult too for the keeper, because when you do have an inswinger, and Kyle Becker, he's one of the best in the league at whipping them into the box. But when you go into a zone and you're across that 6 yard box and you've got your three players, you're normally a yard inside that box for the inswinger, right? Mm-hmm. Which even congests it more around the keeper. When it's an outswinger, you're probably about a yard outside of that 6 yard box for the outswinger to come in so that you can clear it. So the inswinger is always dangerous. It drives more traffic around the keeper and makes it difficult for him to get out.
Yeah, an outswinger, I mean, your starting position as a goalkeeper could be, you know, a yard, 2 yards off your line.
Yeah. It
allows you to come a lot further than having to readjust on an inswinger. Mm.
So it's Forge Cavalry again. I say again, I think it's third time they've been in the final. They met, what, 32 times now they've met? It's crazy, over the 6 years of the league. Dubs, is it good for the league? Or is it? Do they need a bit of change now and again? And these are the two best teams. You can't question that they both deserve to be there. I get that.
Two best clubs, best talent, everything across the board. So
right, you can't criticize it, right? But do you think the league would like a bit more variety in these matches, in these big matches?
I don't know. It's hard to answer from the league perspective, but from my perspective as a neutral, as a fan of the league, but I don't follow it super closely. I think it gives Cavalry a chance to play Forge, but kind of on their own terms, like in their own camp, like in their own backyard. So I'm hoping, I think they're for a different victor. I'd like to see Cavalry win. I think that would be good for the league, but I also think that, so you get a rematch of that, but you change kind of the venue. But I would have liked to have seen Ottawa go through to knock Forge off. I think that's also important because, like, you know, you have, there are 8 teams, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like there's parity. You have a team like Forge who are, you know, this dynasty and with this hugely winning coach and kind of culture there. But it's important to kind of shake it up, I think, for the health of the league, but also just for the narratives and the storytelling.
Agreed.
Now, Forge won the league, so they got a spot in the CONCACAF Champions League for that, right?
Yeah.
Now, what happens if Forge win the title as well?
The double, right? Which hasn't been done before.
No, it hasn't been done before.
Cavalry probably goes in.
I think Calgary get it. Yeah, I think Calgary get it regardless now, right? Because of that.
Yeah.
The fact that they're finalists or by the regular season and kind of supporter shield standings? What takes precedence in awarding that second berth?
The finalist.
For the playoffs.
I saw a post on Instagram from Calvary saying excited to have qualified for the CONCACAF.
There's 2 spots, right? And they were 1-2 in the league and they're in the final, so...
Yeah. So on the back of that, they'll be happy that Forge are in the final.
Yeah, and I want to bring it back to Craig and that he wasn't a big fan of the outswinger. I thought he was a big fan of swinging. I'm just saying.
Oh, swinging, just not the outswinger. I like the outswinger. Right.
Yeah.
The in-swinger, not so much.
I say Tommy Weldon Jr. needs this. He deserves this, right? Every year I look, you know, we hear about who's doing what, who's doing well. And it stuns me that Calgary haven't won this thing yet, right? He's won a couple Coach of the Years, but they haven't won it yet. They deserve it. They really do. And I'm going to be completely, you know, subjective and neutral when it comes to this match on the weekend. I haven't got a horse in the race, but it would be good to see Tommy lift that trophy. He deserves it. At the same time, it's about time Bobby Simignotti has won Coach of the Year. He's made the final list 6 years on the hop, hasn't won it yet. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy, I mean, this year, he loses Tristan Henry to start the season, right? He brings in two, not one, but two great goalkeepers who get the job done. Kwasi Poku leaves halfway through the season. Lots of injuries. And here we are going for the double. It has to be Bobby's award finally, right, this year?
If he doesn't win it this year,
he's never going to win it.
If he doesn't give it, if I'm him, I'd just give up. I'd be like, no, don't even put my name in the hat anymore because it's getting ridiculous. I've won everything.
He likes the title more than the individual anyway.
Yeah. I mean, like, Bobby's a great coach. Good guy, good coach. Continues to impress every year. He needs to get it. If he doesn't get it this year.
I know what you're going to say.
I don't know what else to say.
I know what you're going to say, Sharms. Susan Lucci.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Wunga. Bobby Smignotti is the Susan Lucci of
the CPL.
Yeah.
Always a bridesmaid.
Always a bridesmaid. Yeah.
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 She was up for 16 daytime Emmys and never won until her 17th or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think Bobby gives a shit.
He doesn't.
No.
But Susan Lucci did.
All of these right. Of course she did. But out of all these coaches, like he's won the league so many times, right? So he doesn't need the validation.
It might be nice.
Yeah, sure.
It'd be nice to have a little trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's probably looking at them going, oh, that's really nice. It's good art and beautiful trophy. I wouldn't mind.
No, he's not.
No, it looks nice on my mantle.
No, he's not.
That would look nice on my mantle.
He's like the anti-Ronaldo, right? He's got all these Champions League crowns, but he's also got all those Ballon d'Ors. And they take center stage. Unlike, you know, well, Vinny Jr. I missed that conversation last week, by the way. The whole Real Madrid, you know, boycotting it because Vinny didn't. I'm glad I missed that one because I would have got very angry. I'm assuming you were all anti-Real Madrid on this. Were you not? Did anyone play devil's advocate? Okay.
Well, it seems like you want to get something off your chest, Charm, so why don't you just get it off?
No, I think I have, Jimmy. I think I just have. Yeah. This Rodri had a pretty good year, right? Pretty decent year.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Hey, Craig, do you know if that was mentioned, Victor, and I thought, oh, Victor Montagliani. Do you know if he'll be making the trip for the final?
I don't know.
We should find out, because if he is, we're going to hunt him down and become a nuisance to him.
Yeah.
Maybe get an interview.
I'll find out.
Yeah, find out. It makes sense that he'd be there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's found out that we're going to be there. He'll make the effort now.
Well, that's
I think we're the draw. We're drawing.
We're the draw.
Mm. Yeah. Right now, there's a lot of people on their computers booking flights.
I get to hang out with Sharps? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Funny Prime's going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dressed smart casual.
Look at this, Dubs. Look at this.
Oh,
Who's that?
It's a pretty great weekend for Liverpool.
First place team in England, that's who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Top of the table.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a good weekend with a couple of big boys losing.
Really enjoyable. 13 wins and 15 overall for Arne Slot. City lose to Bournemouth. Yeah, they got injuries. We know that, but their 11 was still pretty freaking good. All right.
Yeah. So City losing to Bournemouth. Sorry. My entire footy picks. I picked Vancouver. Right. I picked Liverpool. And of course, City. Who thought Bournemouth would beat them?
You so get angry. Knocked down. Get up again.
No. So angry.
Boris, though, Jimmy.
Yeah.
My God, what a start to the season.
Unbelievable.
Can they keep it up?
Yes. I think they will keep it up. Chris Wood's been absolutely brilliant.
Would it be Hudson,
Adoy, Langa, Gibbs, White, Anderson. I think the squad is just all coming together now. It's taken them a couple of years with all that money that they spent, and finally now they're starting to gel, and they're playing good football, really good. And they got so much pace when they go forward. Obviously, it helped when Alvarez gets sent off in the first half, two yellows. You just felt he was going to mess it up for West Ham, and obviously he did get sent off, and that was it. Forest were in total control after that and picked up 3 points. Now we got another big test against Newcastle on the weekend. So if we can beat Newcastle, it's just going to continue to give us more momentum. I think we've got 3 wins on a row now, so keep up there. It's where we belong. Bring back the glory days.
Yeah.
Clappy. Yeah. No, it's good to see them up there. It is. Hope they can keep there, but we'll see. Yeah, I mentioned Spurs before, smashing Villa. There's a more inconsistent team in the league than Spurs. They can be great or terrible in any given week.
Like Newcastle.
Yeah, Newcastle is very similar, yeah.
Right? Yeah. But, I mean, they were great against Arsenal. And had they lost, I think Eddie Howe's team would have been bottom half of the table. So mm-hmm. I think they're equally as inconsistent as Spurs.
Any other games pick your fancy from this past weekend? Across Europe?
Yeah, Ipswich.
Yeah. Oh, we have to talk about that.
Getting screwed.
Can you explain it for the audience and me?
Well,
elaborate.
Ipswich actually played pretty well. I mean, they deserved, we thought, 3 points, and they went a goal up, and then there was an incident where they clear penalty, in my view, and I think, you know, match of the day, all commentators were saying the same thing. And then moments later, Ipswich had a man sent off that would have been taken away if they went back and had a look at the actual foul on the box, and the VAR didn't even look at it. Mm. So if they look at it, the red card, whether they would have stayed with 11 men, had a penalty, probably gone 2-0 up and comfortable, but it's a massive, massive mistake by the referee and VAR. Really was. And I know a lot of people are saying, you know, smaller clubs don't get the calls, and I have to tend to agree with them on that most of the time.
Yeah. Shout out to my Southampton as well.
Oh, you just broke up, so I don't know what you said.
Yeah, Southampton, their first win of the season.
Southampton, first win of the season.
Oh, and then you pointed out Everton. Southampton's jersey. Okay.
Oh, I see. No. I see.
No, so it's just it's poor Ipswich and Wolves who are still looking for their first win. Poor Wolves.
Wolves, man, I tell you, they
deserve better.
I thought they were going to do it over Palace. Another draw. Yeah.
The old argument: oh, they're just too good to go down. But it's like, are they? I know it's been a terrible. Like the schedule's been brutal up until Palace kind of begins this slightly easier run. But when you haven't got a win after 10 games, there's no easy game, right? But I really feel for Gary O'Neill, because I've watched quite a few of their games this year. They play good football.
Mm-hmm.
They deserve so much better. They're in games, but they just can't get that. At what point does it get to a point where it gets in your head that you haven't got a win yet?
Now.
After the fourth match, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't take till 10 games. They've already been thinking about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about, you know, the strength and the division. There's like 3 divisions in one in the Premier League. You look at the bottom four sides. Now, they play each other a couple of times. So it's about 38 games. There's 2 wins between them.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
And the bottom four teams.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's not looking good for any of them. You look at the bottom five or so, like Leicester's on 10. Everton on 9. You can't see Everton going down, and I don't think. Palace, again, they play good football, don't they? So much better than previous years, but not getting results. It's going to be a race, a good race, I think, there. West Ham even, Craig. I mean, Christ, something's got to give there at some point. 14 points. Yeah.
Be careful what you wish for, right?
Hey, can I ask a question? If you're at the bottom of the table, do you like in-swingers or out-swingers?
You just like swingers.
You just like swingers at that point.
Yeah. Any
just
swinger.
Drop your keys in the bowl. Come on,
beggars can't be choosers.
You just take anything, Wonger, then.
Yeah. Bottom of the table.
The minivan.
Doesn't matter.
Well, if you're at the bottom of the table, you probably want a big outswinger, you know, just because you're under.
But everyone's still seated on the same side of the table.
That's true.
Yeah. Right. But it's tough, though, when you're at the bottom because you might get the sack.
Every chance you will, in fact. All right. Anything else you want to get to? John David scored again, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep.
That happened, but it's kind of getting boring. So what? Of course he did. It's John David. Yeah. That's what he does. Scores goals.
I wanted to throw out it's Movember. None of us are doing our mustaches except Dubs. So but that's her normal. That's how she approaches life.
Fuck you, Wonger.
But our good pal from Footy Prime Supporters Club, Claudio Di Saplendido, please, Di Placido, is doing Movember. So if you're a part of the Footy Prime supporters, I threw him some bucks, and it's a great Movember is a great, great thing for cancer awareness in men and a lot of men's health. So I know our friend Craig Forrest lost a ball. We have a booze after the ball, named after the ball. So it moves things. So if you feel like giving and partaking, go out and support Claudio. And you can find him on the Movember website.
I think you mispronounced Claudio's name, though. It's
Di Placido.
Lepkuski. Claudio Lepkuski.
I'm not great with the Latin names right now. Yeah, I got to practice.
But yes, Movember. Great cause. Let's get Craig's ball back. Okay.
You're still looking for it. I want to know where that thing ended up.
Yeah, me too.
Mantelpiece. Mantelpiece somewhere.
Can you imagine? There's some doctor who's like, I've got Forrest ball.
Yeah.
It's sitting in like some formaldehyde sitting there with a light on it.
Beside, Craig, it could be sitting beside the Intertoto Cup somewhere. Some billionaire's mantelpiece.
I think Forrest doesn't realize it's in his golf bag.
I'm going to have a look right now.
All the time. That's where it is. All right. Well, listen, we're back probably tomorrow and Wednesday, and then be a ton of content for the next 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We don't know how, where, or when just yet, but it will be somewhere in Calgary, and we look forward to that. So please make sure you like us and you follow us. Give us reviews, comments too, both on social and on YouTube. Tell us what you think we should be doing while we're in Calgary. There's an idea, right? 3 days we're there. We're going to be busy. There's a lot of footy-oriented stuff. But what should we do while in Calgary? Okay. Are the Flames playing on Saturday night, I wonder?
We should really? Up. You'd double it up, eh?
Yeah.
If they were playing?
I love the old double up sporting events on a Saturday. It's 1 o'clock, right? Back in time, isn't it?
I'm napping by like the second period. I'm like, I'm leaning on your shoulder. Go, can we go home now? Doesn't matter if it's overtime. Doesn't matter. I'm tired.
They are playing at 1 p.m. So they're directly competing.
Really?
That's not good.
That's not great.
No, it's not.
This is probably the worst possible time, actually. Although different fan bases, I guess. Very different fan bases. Some are educated. Soccer. Others are Neanderthals.
Hockey. Charms.
What?
Don't what? Do that.
Why? Is it wrong?
Yes.
Just because you're married to a hockey guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
it is right. Wrong.
I'm both. You can be both the
you are
intelligent, educated, and a Neanderthal, you know. You can do both.
Hockey. That's right.
All right. We'll speak to you later this week. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye for now. Cheers for listening and watching. Keep buying newspapers.
Yeah.
Sure.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
There's a...
Jimmy Giff.
And we're out.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/Footy Prime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.